Welcome to Trust the Bible. I'm Pastor David, and this week we have been looking at Romans chapter 7, and what I believe is that all of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, the commands, the stories, the teachings, wherever you find them, they are still in effect. Nothing has been done away with. I know that this is somewhat unusual teaching in the church today, unfortunately. I know it brings up a lot of questions. Like, what do you mean it hasn't been done away with? What about the sacrificial system? Well, we don't have sacrifices right now because there's no temple. The first temple was destroyed 586 years before the birth of Jesus, and there was a time when there were no sacrifices back then because there was no temple. Then a second temple was built. The second temple has been destroyed. It was destroyed 40 years after the life of Jesus, just as Jesus prophesied during his earthly ministry. He said that within this generation this will happen. It did. But that was not an abolishing of the Old Testament laws that pertain to that. The Bible clearly prophesies there will be a third temple at the proper time. So the law has not been done away with. There are different laws that we actually practice or that actually govern us right now. Not all of it does. The sacrificial laws, we can't follow those right now. There are other examples of that. We can't follow some of the criminal justice system laws that are in the Old Testament because those were given to Israel under the authority of a Jewish court established by God. We don't have one of those today. Even Israel does not have one of those today. So we can't put into practice some of those commands. But it doesn't mean they've been abolished or done away with. They're still there. There's just no way to practice some of them. Many of them are not appropriate for Gentiles to try to follow. A lot of the Sabbath regulations have to do with the Israelites and are not intended for Gentiles to try to follow. Nevertheless, those laws are still there and in place. So it brings up a lot of questions, and we could talk about those. By the way, if you have questions, you can always go to the Facebook group Trust the Bible, and I would love to get your comments, your questions there, and give everyone an opportunity to discuss a topic you bring up. I might discuss something on the show if you bring it up there. So that's the Facebook group Trust the Bible. You can also always call the program at 943-8237. With a question, comment, need for some counsel, prayer, anything like that, I'd be happy to help you with. The number is 943-8237. But we have been looking at what Romans 7 says about the law, and I'm just going to jump right in to verse 7. And I think this passage is so important because the purpose of this program is to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. And if you think the law has been done away with, which is the foundation, the building block on which all of the Bible is built, you're left with very little Bible left to really guide you to the kind of life God wants you to have. And so it's important that we not think that this has been torn out of our Bibles or is obsolete or no longer matters or is no longer something we should study. There's so much wisdom and guidance and grace that God wants to give you by telling you how you can have a fulfilling, enjoying, and enjoy your life. So Romans 7:7 says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not." So whatever you think about what Paul says in the first part of Romans 7, which I've already explained is usually misunderstood, he's not saying that the law of God or that the Old Testament or that the Old Covenant is done away with and obsolete because there's something wrong with it. No, it's not sinful at all. There's nothing wrong with it. "Nevertheless," Paul writes, "I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead." You see, if you have no knowledge that it's wrong to covet, then it's not, I mean, how do you covet? You don't even know that you're doing anything wrong. Therefore, there's a sense in which you're not held to account for what you're doing. But the law comes, and here Paul is referring to a general law. We looked at this earlier in Romans chapter 2. Paul says there is a law, a written law, given to the Israelites, given through Moses at Mount Sinai, that the Israelites have, but the Gentiles as well have always had a law written on their hearts, their conscience. So everyone has the law, and at some point in a young child's life, you become aware that there is a standard of right and wrong, either through being taught it in the Bible, explicitly in the scriptures, or by becoming aware of right and wrong from the testimony God has given in the heart of a human being, in the conscience that tells us what is right and wrong. And once you discover what is right and wrong, you have this other principle at work in you. You have sin in you, which causes you to do the very thing you know is wrong and causes, you know, it's not that it causes you to do something against your will. It's that our entire will is corrupt, and Paul is kind of using this metaphor of describing sin as this like monster that comes in, but in reality it's just the fact that we are fallen, we are corrupt, we are sinful beings. It's part of our nature. And so when we encounter the law, sin in us causes us to sin. And Paul writes his kind of background, his story. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. Now, when did that happen? Somewhere early in his life. In childhood, he learned the commandments and sin sprang to life in him and he died. I found, Paul writes, that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me and through the commandment put me to death. So who is to blame for Paul coming to his spiritual death? Sin is, this corrupted nature of his, not the law. The law was good. The law gives life. The law guides us in how to live in a healthy and enjoyable way. But sin in us takes that law and uses it to produce death in us. And Paul makes it very clear. He says, so then, the law is holy. And the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. This is what the Bible says throughout, from Genesis to Revelation. The law is good. The law is right. It is holy. And this means that it is for us. It's not a list of oppressive rules. It's a list of guidance given by our Creator, who knows how we function right, who designed us and says, here's the manual. You want to live right. You want to live with purpose, without regrets, with joy, with peace. Here's how you do it. And the psalmist declares, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. So throughout the Bible, we see these references and Jesus as well, that the law is meant to guide us, give us light, help us in life, but this sin in us, and this is, again, this is before we come to Christ. Romans 6 says, hey, when once you believed in Christ, you died to sin. All right, but Paul is speaking here about the common human experience. We're born, we have the sin nature. As we grow older, we become aware of God's law, and sin in us uses the commandment to put us to death, to lead us to break the law, to put us under condemnation, to put us on a path of death. Spiritual death, and also that includes then physical death. But the law is good. And so where Paul is going is he's saying, thanks be to God, as he'll conclude the chapter, that Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of sin and death in Paul's writings is not the Ten Commandments and the laws written in the Old Testament. It's this sin nature that corrupts how the law functions. But even in this corrupt state, the law still helps us. It helps us to see how sinful we are and that we need a Savior so that we can cry out in faith and receive this free gift of salvation and righteousness and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So all this is important background to see what Paul does next in Romans chapter 7. It's a very famous passage about being sold into slavery into sin. I'll give you my interpretation of it tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.